it's time for Talks About Tech Weekly. I'm your host, Michael McAndrew.
And I am Kevin McAndrew.
Episode 34, we're back today. We were out for, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
Due to a studio redesign, various trips we were going on. We just haven't gotten time for
It's been a crazy month, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So I just want to talk today a bit about, first of all, the Apple announcement. Now, the Apple announcement was, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Two or three weeks ago.
We're a bit out of date.
Yeah, but since Talks About Tech Weekly has been on for such a small amount of time, or has been gone for such a large amount of time, we're going to kick off by talking about that Apple announcement.
Mm-hmm.
So they announced new MacBook Airs, new MacBook Pros, and also a next generation MacBook Pro.
I actually love the new MacBook Pro.
Right.
I like it a lot.
iOS 6, they were talking a bit about that, and also macOS X Mountain Lion. Now, this Apple announcement was the part of the WWDC conference, which is an Apple developer conference. And it's really for developers, but they always have a keynote at the beginning of the conference, and then it's all kind of shut off from the press, and it's just for developers. So, first of all, the new MacBook Airs.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, could you talk to us a bit about what they updated on the MacBook Air?
On the MacBook Airs, they updated them to Ivy Bridge processors. And the new Ivy Bridge processors are absolutely unbelievable. They're some of my favorite processors. Wasn't it the Sandy Bridge before that, Michael? Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So it's a big step up now. So much faster, much clearer, better graphics also, and faster flash storage. And, you know, it's just they made it, as I said, sleeker, you know, quicker. So overall, the new MacBook Air, they didn't change too much on it. Like, they didn't make it thicker or thinner, but they changed the insides, different components, so that it's very, very, very fast. And I actually really like the new one, but there is one slight drawback, which is that it is a bit more expensive. So the starting price, $999, it's actually, I think, €1,099. So
yeah, that's right.
That's the only thing bad about it, but otherwise it's unbelievable.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So you did talk about USB 3, right?
Oh, yes, sorry. They have implemented USB 3 in it, which is very nice as well, so
yeah definitely. So now they also updated the MacBook Pros. Mm-hmm. Right, and so the MacBook Pros, they also got the same update to the new Ivy Bridge processors. They also got USB 3, but they haven't actually had any design or structural changes to it at all. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the same computer, just updated processor, USB 3. And so they decided that they were going to go with a next generation, what they call a next generation MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a Retina display. You can choose either 8 or 16 gigabytes of RAM. It's a 15.4 inch. And it's as thin as the MacBook Air at its thickest point.
Mm-hmm.
It's got two Thunderbolt ports, USB 3, and what they're calling the MagSafe Adapter 2, which is basically a thinner version of MagSafe, okay? And you can get a little adapter to use your normal MagSafe plug or whatever.
Yeah.
And also, they've gotten rid of Ethernet.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten rid of FireWire, I believe. I mean, they've gotten rid of a lot of things, but they've brought in the two Thunderbolt and USB 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you need, I mean, they have an adapter for everything. They have a Thunderbolt to Ethernet adapter. They have, you know, they pretty much have an adapter for pretty much everything that they got rid of, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, the only thing that I don't like about this is the MagSafe 2. Because now all the older version, or the all the older plugs for MagSafe, they're completely useless. Unless you get an adapter.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing. Well, I guess you kind of need to get it because it's thinner, but...
I know. But there is a lot of issues with this MacBook Pro, and a lot of people have been kind of... They've been complaining about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've been saying that the MacBook Pro is the hardest laptop ever made to repair.
Yeah.
Everything is soldered completely onto the board. You can't replace RAM, can't replace hard drive. So if you think you might want to upgrade to 16 gigabytes of RAM in the future,
then get the 16 gigs.
Get the 16 gigabyte of RAM version now, because you will not be able to upgrade that.
Unless you get a new one, which, you know, it's not very, you know, it's better just to get it now. So.
Right. Definitely. Mm-hmm. So there are a few issues like that. And also, I suppose that's because it's so thin, right? But they came out, they did some very kind of interesting techniques with, you know, keeping down fan noise.
Yeah.
Right? What they did was they made an asymmetric fan design, which means that it's very confusing. But what it does is it creates a lot more kind of tones of noise or something.
Yeah.
So that you don't really realize the noise it's making. But, I mean, my MacBook Pro here is a very, very quiet machine anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the old MacBook Pro was a very quiet computer anyway. So I don't know why they'd be making kind of changes to make it quieter.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have two fans rather than one fan in the MacBook Pro I have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because Ivy Bridge processors run a bit hotter, you know, there's a lot more packed in there.
I see.
So, Kevin, I'm going to ask you this. If you were in the market for a MacBook Pro right now, and you have the choice between the 15-inch and the 13-inch MacBook Pro or the Retina display MacBook Pro, which one would you go for?
Personally, I go for the 13-inch MacBook Pro because I do not like computers that are big and heavy. And also, I don't think I'd make much use of the Thunderbolt and the USB 3. That's just me, but that's my, you know, that's my personal
opinion,
sorry. Yeah, so
that's all right. Yeah, I mean, for me as well, I have the 15-inch MacBook Pro. 2011 model. I have no reason to update at all. And even if I was, I wouldn't go and spend the money on the MacBook Pro with the Retina. You know, it's... First of all, the Retina display MacBook Pro starts at €2,349.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a hell of a lot of money for a computer, right? Whereas the 15-inch starts at just near $2,000, right? So it's like...
Yeah.
You know, and that's for the Core i7 model. For me, it's just not worth that money.
I know what you mean, yeah. It is a lot of money, in fairness.
Oh, it is. And it only comes with flash memory, right? So it comes with a 256 gigabyte flash storage, or SSD even, which for me isn't great because I need the storage.
Yeah.
Right? So I'd rather pay for a 750 gigabyte hard drive than an SSD 256 gigabyte.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it does give you a lot of stuff. I mean, it gives you a 2.3 gigahertz Core i7 with a turbo boost up to 3.3 gigahertz. Right?
Okay.
It gives you 8 gigabytes of RAM. It gives you of course, the 256 gigabyte SSD. It gives you the NVIDIA GeForce, the graphics card, the 650M, 1 gigabyte graphics card with 1 gigabyte of DDR5.
Yeah.
GDDR5. And 7 hours of battery life, which is pretty good for such a powerful machine.
Yeah.
You know, but really, there's a lot of people who have been complaining about the fact that you just can't repair it.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean.
And you can't upgrade it at all.
Well, I guess to make it so thin and so, you know, like, so powerful, I guess you kind of have to make some of those sacrifices.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you do. And it's kind of like a disposable.
Yeah.
A disposable computer. I mean, yeah, Leo Laporte from Twitter, I'm going to steal that off him. he said on one of his shows that it's like a disposable computer,
mm-hmm.
right? If you went up to an Apple store or some place, they probably just give you a new computer. They won't bother trying to repair it because everything's soldered to the board.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean.
Yeah. So anyway, we better move on and talk a bit about iOS 6, right? So, can you talk a bit about iOS 6 there, Kevin?
Well, iOS 6 is not on the first generation iPad.
Yeah, you're pretty upset about that, right?
So, yeah. Well,
explain why you are.
Well, I'm disappointed because I was hoping that they would keep the new pieces of software for the first generation iPad for a couple of more years. But unfortunately not. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what happens. Apple, some people say they're doing this on purpose, right? Yeah. That they're just going to... they're making the operating system so that it's not going to run very well on their earlier devices. Mm-hmm. And they're just going to say, oh, sorry, the hardware is not up to scratch to run iOS 6, yeah. right?
Well, now, that's actually what I've been finding, is that I cannot update any of my apps. Well, some of them I can, but any ones that I have to update for the Retina display, when I try to use them, sometimes what happens is they start crashing. Then I go on to another one, works perfectly for a few days, crashing. And then I have to restart my iPad.
Right.
Then it works for a few days and then it starts crashing.
Yeah, and this is kind of Apple trying to, I suppose, maybe trying to force you
into buying
their new devices. Or is it just because the software is moving forward way faster than the hardware?
Mm. Yeah.
Right? Now, the thing is, being honest with you, the whole dual core and quad core thing is a bit weird.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The thing is, Intel said they were going to come out with a 4 gigahertz processor, right? And instead, they came out with a dual core processor.
Yeah.
Which is 1.5 gigahertz dual core processor instead, right? And it doesn't really make that much of a difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you bought a single core laptop right now, the difference in performance is minimal. I mean, compared to if you went from a 2 gigahertz processor to a 4 gigahertz processor.
Yeah.
It's a big bump compared to just a single core to a dual core,
mm-hmm.
right? To me, I mean, I have a single core phone and I've tried quad core phones, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Galaxy S3. The performance it's just not there. I mean, it's a bit faster, but that's mostly because the clock speed is faster.
Yeah.
Right? But quad core doesn't make that much of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, so there are a few features in iOS. There are a few features in iOS that I would really love on my iPad,
mm-hmm.
such as Siri,
mm-hmm.
no Siri on my iPad, or what you call it, the new thing that they have on your keyboard, speech dictation.
Well, that's going to be replaced by Siri.
Yeah, so that both of those things I can't get. So there, and I really love those.
Right.
You know, then it's just, I guess, I haven't really looked at iOS 6, but that's all I've really seen so far.
Yeah, so what they first did was maps.
Yeah.
Which is something that I find very interesting.
They're
right?
scrapping Google Maps yeah. and putting in their own maps.
Right, right. They just want to have full yeah. control over the operating system.
Even
right?
though the utility is there and they can use it, because they have used it, but they still want to go with their own.
Right.
You know, it's interesting.
Right. So they've redesigned, they've gone around, they've mapped. I think they're actually using TomTom maps for a bit
yeah.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
For a bit of it, but most of it is actually what Apple went around and they mapped the whole place, right? So they have their own satellite view, they have 3D buildings. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Right? But it's going to take a long time to get the whole place done.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have, they only have the major cities done in
yeah.
3D, right? So it's going to take ages to get all the cities done.
When you look at Google,
Street
View?
Yeah.
That's almost everywhere in the world that yeah. they have. It's crazy, you know.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, there are some disadvantages to
yeah.
leaving Google Maps, right?
So for
because
Apple
they're a lot further down the line mm-hmm. than Apple are with their maps, right?
So for Apple to get up to par with Google, it's going to take a while, you know. And then Google will always be going on to something next,
right.
and then they'll be on to something else, you know. So
now they slightly changed the Google Maps. The Maps logo, right?
Okay.
Now, it's got a little blue line going off, which means it's got turn-by-turn directions, which I really,
cool.
really, really do like, right? Because Android has had turn-by-turn directions for
mm-hmm.
ages.
Yeah.
As far as I can remember, from 1.6 onwards.
Mm.
Right?
yeah.
They've had turn-by-turn directions.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, you see, some of the directions from Google Maps are not the best. I think it's from Tokyo to someplace in America. It says to swim across the Pacific Ocean. Literally.
Well, I mean, it's obviously yeah. has improved.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Google Maps, the Google Maps application has had turn-by-turn directions on Android for as long as I
yeah.
can remember, right? So a lot of the Android people are just going to be saying, well, that's great, Apple, but we've had all these features
mm-hmm.
since the beginning
yeah.
of Android, right?
Congratulations on your new maps. I hear that you've had turn-by-turn directions. Well, just to tell
just to
you,
let you know,
we've had them for
years,
yeah,
so. You know, nothing new on the Android camp, right? But of course, the Apple fanboys will return by, it's the way that Apple does it.
Yeah,
you know?
it's sleek.
It's magical.
It says to swim across Pacific Ocean
with
butterfly.
A capital S.
Yeah, and by doing the butterfly.
Right, right. I mean,
you know,
but. There is truth to that, though. I mean, Apple does do what they do very well.
It's just...
You can't
deny
that.
You can't... You just can't. There's no way to describe what Apple does.
In fairness, though. I mean, Apple does do a great job, though. I'm actually being serious now. I'm not going...
Yeah.
It's magical. So,
Even
they do...
Even though Safari is not as good as...
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. So, maps anyway. I mean, the way that they did it, it just kind of looks like an old map. The texture and
yeah.
everything. It just they've done it really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's functional, yes, but
mm-hmm.
it's kind of Apple always adds in this kind of style.
Yeah.
Right. And they kind of do this thing where. They do this thing with all these applications like the Notes app, and you see, you know, it's like an old notepad or something. They always do that. And
mm-hmm.
be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, because there isn't... It's more kind of design
right.
than actual
functionality. You know, function. Yeah. It functions fine.
Yeah, but there is more design to that. Whereas with Android, they and their developers and different things like that, they tend to go with more functionality and customization, such as like the iOS, like the actual UI on it. When you go into it and you're looking through all your apps, it's great, but you can't really move around your apps that great. It's just that's how the apps are. Yeah. But with Android, you can move everything around. You can get loads of widgets, you know, to tell you the time. But,
yeah,
you know, just different things like that.
Yeah. Android is definitely the platform that is for people who want to customize the phone to themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas the iPhone is just a phone you pick up and it's used. Mm-hmm. It's usable, right? And it's kind of the phone for all,
mm-hmm.
but it's not as customizable. Anyway, so the next feature that iOS 6 brought about was Siri for the iPad and for the, I'm pretty sure the iPod Touch, right? But it only works on the iPad third generation. So yeah. It won't even work on my second generation iPad, which is disappointing. And I don't... Personally, I don't understand why they did that, because the third generation iPad has the exact same processor as the second generation iPad.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is the graphics is a bit better.
And Retina then again, display. It comes back to the topic of trying to get people to buy their latest devices.
Right.
Because number one, they'd be making more sales. And number two, they'd be up to par and they'd be saying, oh, actually, these are really good.
Well, maybe it will come to the second generation iPad, but it's just not ready for that many devices yet. Because you have to remember, Siri is still in beta, right? And it's been going down and up. And, you know, the servers aren't as reliable, right, as a fully finished product. So it is still in beta.
What I have to say about... I was actually reading an article yesterday. I was looking through Flipboard on my iPad, and I didn't know this, but you know how you go into Siri and then you're talking away and you say different things, and it gets it pretty much every time. Did you know that Siri only gets it 1 out of 3 times?
Really?
Yeah. So I think the way it might do it is it might like do it a few times. It might play it back and see which one is best.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And then it puts that one out. And then, but you're actually not seeing it. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't get to read the full article. But it's very, you know, it's very interesting. Because you think, you know, Siri is brilliant. But then you actually kind of realize that sometimes it does get it wrong. So,
yeah.
You know.
So they added sports scores and all this kind of stuff. So you can, like, you can find out the scores from live games. And it does it in a very nice looking way.
Yeah.
As Siri does, and it kind of talks back to you, right? Rather than the Android approach, which is a bit more functional, let's say, right? It gives you schedules for different games and things like that, as well as scores, player stats, right? So you can check out where their world ranking is, their height, whatever.
Heart rate.
Well, if you want to be freaky about
that's Android. They're more
Google are a bit more. Well, Google are a bit more freaky. They'll tell you. I mean, for example, Google Analytics for my website, you can even find out what web browser they're using, what operating system they're using, where the exact location where they're using it.
Not like we're
accessing,
gonna be,
accessing.
Not
the
like we're
going to
be using any of
I
those.
Mean, yeah,
things.
What's the
like,
point?
It's not like we're going to sell them off.
Well,
or,
no, but
you know
no, it's not that. It's just what's the point in giving you that kind of information?
Yeah, well, you
it's
see,
no use to you.
When you think
well,
about
it might be because if your website is Flash and most of people are looking at it on a non-Flash website or non-Flash device. You might want to think about switching your website to a non-Flash website.
Well, you know, it's interesting because did you ever notice you see some things and they have just absolutely a ton of things that you'd never use?
Right.
But what would you prefer to get? The thing that you have, what another program has? It has all those things, but it also has all these other things that it wouldn't use. And then, like, which one would you get? Mm. You would get the one that has all these things that,
yeah.
you know, because people like to surround themselves in things that they would never use, like, ever.
Right.
Because just in case someone, you know, someone just hacks into your website and you have to find out what screen they have. So yeah. then you go into analytics right. and say, oh, they have this screen.
Right.
Now we know exactly who it is, you know.
Right, right. Well,
just an example.
They've also added movie stuff, right? So, for example, you could look up facts about movies. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it, IMDb? They provide, yeah movie mm-hmm. stuff, right?
Definitely.
So, they're kind of putting a few companies out of business here, you know.
Yeah.
Movie stats, facts. You can look up trailers for movies.
Okay.
I mean, that's that's pretty much IMDb okay. there for you. Mm-hmm. I actually love
that's
IMDb.
That's YouTube gone.
Well, no, not quite. But
not yet.
Because Android. But, there is yeah. an Android IMDb app, so they're not mm-hmm. out of business completely. But yeah. Google Maps is gone.
Yeah.
out of iOS.
Yeah, so.
I mean, yeah. They've put a lot. They've just taken iOS apps and they said, "We really like this. We're going to screw you up." I'm only messing about this, but I mean, they really have taken a lot of apps out of business. I mean, I wouldn't like to be one of them. They've also done like a restaurants thing. You know, you can find restaurants by their price, their location.
Is location services
seating, all this kind of stuff.
Is location services still in America? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they've rolled it out in Ireland yet.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Right. But they've definitely rolled out location services in a lot more countries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Siri is... It's being improved, and also it's coming to more devices, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is Facebook. They've integrated Facebook, right? And it's very interesting because they integrated Twitter first. And obviously, Apple and Facebook have become friends again.
Yeah.
Right? Which is good to see. So, Facebook is integrated throughout iOS, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't use Facebook, so this isn't going to affect me, mm-hmm. right? So, really, we do need someone who uses Facebook, but none of the two of us use Facebook. So, you can do all that Facebook stuff. You know, whatever you guys at Facebook do. Share stuff with your friends or something. Silly stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, camera photos and
well, you
stuff.
See, I guess some of the most popular things nowadays are Twitter and Facebook. Now, why are they so popular? Because people just like to communicate with each other. Like, you can't just get one person, put them out on an island just forever. Like, with no one there, they'd be, like, really lonely. So people like to interact with each other. And that's why Twitter, Facebook, you know, all these other ones as well, are so, you know, they're so popular. So I guess what Apple are trying to do is implement them into iOS to get more people, you know, to get over. And they're like, oh, well, Android doesn't have this, but iOS has this because, like, I use Facebook all the time and it's really handy.
Yeah.
Or I use Twitter all the time and it's really handy.
Yeah.
You know, just different things like that.
Right. Yeah. So, they've also added shared photos. So, this is like Dropbox.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Another country or another company.
Country.
Company.
Yes, country.
There's another company gone.
Right. So what they've done is what you can do is you can take photos from your photo stream and you can, based on their Apple account, right, which is kind of like iCloud and whatever, you can share the photos with that person. Right. Of course, it has to be on an iOS or an Apple device
that
you can share them with. So, for example, if you wanted to share photos from your iPad with me, right?
Yeah.
You just share them with my Apple ID, right? Which is kind of cool. So it kind of works the same way, you know. You interact with FaceTime, right?
Yeah.
With a lot of those applications.
Will I? Will we close these?
Just close them a small bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't Rain's close them fully. The problem with this new studio is the lighting. We have a lot of lights in here. It gets really warm, and we have to open the windows, and then it rains. Just don't. You can open them a small bit more than that. Yeah, there you go. Just do the same with the other one. Kevin's doing some martial arts there, trying to close the windows. Right. I mean, it's pretty cool how they've done that. You can comment on them. The person could comment on them, for example. You can view them on your Apple TV and whatever. You can also do it through the web, which is interesting. So you can... Okay, so let me see how this works. What you do is you select the photos from the Photos app, right? Which is pretty straightforward. You press the share button and you select who you want to choose, right? Mm. Right. Now, they can be shared on your Mac, any iOS device, even on Apple TV, okay?
Okay.
And if they're not, you see, the thing is, if they're not using an Apple device, you can do it using the web.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, they can also make comments using the web mm-hmm. interface. So, if they're using a Windows computer, I mean, it's not completely just Apple devices.
Yeah.
You know, you can do Windows and whatever as well, which is very handy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, they've also added a passbook, which is kind of cool. You know, you can, for example, boarding passes, retail coupons even.
Yeah.
I mean, loyalty cards, movie tickets, and they just use a barcode, right? And then you can scan it off the phone screen,
mm-hmm.
which I kind of like. However, what they've done is they've partnered with these companies, but a lot of them are just US, right? So there's no... company, so it's not really going to affect us in any way here yeah. in Ireland, right? Which is kind of a shame,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's a great idea, but what are you gonna do? So they've also they've added FaceTime over cellular networks, which is kind of nice. It'll work yeah. with cellular networks Wait, as well so as Wi-Fi.
It was only on Wi-Fi.
It was only on Wi-Fi before.
Oh.
And now it'll work on cellular. So it'll work on 3G, 4G.
That's really good.
Yeah, as well as just on...
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't really affect me in any way.
Neither does it me.
You know what? I've never used FaceTime.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
Even though you have an iPad.
I have an iPad 2.
Yeah.
I've never used FaceTime.
I don't have a camera. All I have at the top of my screen is a little detection
sensor. Well, I've also added stuff to the phone, right? You've got new calling features, if you like that. You can... Now, if you decline a phone call from someone, for example, John Appleseed...
Okay.
You know that guy, you know, they always use John or Jane Appleseed or something
yeah.
as an example of a person.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. But anyway, when you decline a call, you can instantly, like, reply with a message, right, saying, and so you can, like, just reply and say, sorry, I was in the middle of doing a podcast, had to decline yeah. your phone call, right?
Or, sorry... I would like a divorce.
Handy. I'm not talking to you anymore.
Handy in some cases.
Or you can say, remind me later, mm-hmm. right? So that'll set a reminder to call the person back later.
Yeah, okay.
That's kind of cool. And then when you click the reply with a message, you can just create a custom message. Or it'll actually say, it'll give you like different templates, like, I'll call you later, I want a divorce,
yeah.
I'm on my way, what's up? not that I want a divorce, but anyway. Right, so I guess you can also send it to the voicemail.
Yeah, we better be moving on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
We could get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
So they've made improvements to mail, VIP inboxes. So you can set a VIP list. So you can set certain email addresses to be VIPs. For example, if I feel some way or another Kevin is a VIP, I can put Kevin in the VIP inbox. So whenever I get an email from Kevin, it pops up in the VIP inbox rather than the normal inbox. Which,
cool.
I would say, you know, it could be handy.
Mm-hmm. Have they implemented where you can have groups? So when you're sending off, I find this, it's on Gmail.
Yeah.
Right. I love it. You can put people into groups and then you're like, oh, I want to send it to
this group, right? This group. So, for example, the first Lego League group or something, yeah.
That's what I use it for all the time.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I don't know if they've actually incorporated that, but that would be pretty handy.
It would be pretty handy if they did, because I always have to go up to my computer.
Right.
And I always use mail on my iPad, because it's so easy to use, you know.
So. Yeah. So they've also, what else have they added here? They've added stuff to Safari, right? They've added full screen landscape mode, which has already been there for ages. they've added not a lot of stuff to Safari, right? It's very basic stuff. But we better move on. Of course, they've got accessibility stuff, so they've added lots of new countries and stuff.
Okay.
Which, yeah, okay, we better move on anyway, because we're going to talk about the Microsoft Surface tablet. For a little while. They had this kind of mystery event in Los Angeles. Mystery event. And it's a very mysterious event. So they basically sent out invites to anyone who they wanted to come. And
no one chose up.
Yeah. They never thought of that. Because they didn't. They just said Los Angeles. And they gave a date. They never gave a convention center. Or anything like that, right? And they just basically released a new Surface tablet. The Surface tablet has been around for years.
Okay.
Right? Way before the iPad, but it is rubbish. Right? Because it was running a desktop operating system. Yeah, the stylus. Which is nice. So they released this Surface tablet for Windows RT, which has an ARM processor. Right, okay. And Windows RT is like the version of Windows 8 for ARM processors, right? So it's going to run more efficiently for, you know, ARM processors like in your iPad
iPhone. Yeah.
And then they have a Windows 8 version, which has, I would say, probably run like an Intel Atom processor.
Okay.
And that'll run a full version of Windows 8. And it's got a cool keyboard.
A fold-out one, is it?
No, it's just a normal keyboard. It's like a cover, and then it's got this keyboard that pops out. But it's not really, it's not a tactile keyboard.
Oh, okay.
It's a chiclet keyboard, and it does have a bit of travel. It's got like 1 millimeter of travel.
Okay.
But it's not a very responsive, you know, it's not like a keyboard, a normal keyboard.
Yeah, you know. To get, like, if you were to type out something, instead of typing out normally, would you have to press it harder or would you have to whack it?
Oh, no, you wouldn't. It's just that it's like typing on a touchscreen. It's not responsive. I mean, it doesn't give you give you feedback.
I know what you mean.
It's not that it's not responsive. It's just it doesn't give you feedback, right? So it's cool, right? But being honest with you, first of all, the Windows RT version won't do well. Okay. In my opinion, apps-wise,
never even
because you can't run your normal x86 applications on it, and you have to run specially made applications just for the ARM processor version.
Okay,
right, and there's no real incentive for developers to make an ARM processor version of their application. Yeah.
So, the first of all, my opinion on Windows RT. I've never even heard of it.
Right, I never.
The name Windows RT sounds like a really old version of Windows for some reason. You know.
That's ME. Yeah, you're thinking of ME or okay. something. Yeah. That was nice.
You know, like, that doesn't really stand for it.
Right.
What does it stand for?
Ridiculously tough. I don't know what it stands for. Don't take me on that. Ridiculously
terrible.
Yes, there we go. Sorry. So Windows ridiculously terrible.
Well, it should actually be RT Windows.
That's ridiculously terrible Windows.
Yeah,
that's not fair. We're just joking around. So yeah.
Even though it's true.
So it's not going to do well, in my opinion, because there's no incentive for the developers. I mean, if you were to buy a new phone right now,
yeah,
you'd do it on apps. You wouldn't buy a Windows Phone 7 phone, Windows Phone 7, because it doesn't have the kind of app market that Android and iOS has,
mm-hmm.
right? But when it comes to tablets, there's been no real competitor to the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this tablet will be able to compete with the iPad?
I don't know, because I haven't seen any Windows tablets. I've seen, like, ancient ones, but I haven't seen any new ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really comment.
Well, there
that.
Haven't been any new Windows tablets.
Yeah.
I mean, Windows 8 is going to be tablets, what they say is going to be, like, the breakthrough in tablets.
Mm.
So we'll see. How that works out.
Yeah.
But we have to move on. And we're going to talk a bit about Google I.O. We're going to run over time.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been so many stories, big stories, since we have stopped doing Talks About Tech Weekly.
Mm-hmm. So can we just do Google Chrome first? Because my
we better. Well, I'm going to do it on this, and my iPad's about to die on this as well. We'll do Chrome. Mm-hmm. Let me switch it to this new camera, a fancy camera I have here. Okay, so it looks a bit bad there, but hang on. Okay, that's something else.
Just as I say, can we do Google Chrome because my iPad's about to die? My iPad dies.
Okay, well,
stupid.
So, can you run me through the features of this Google Chrome?
Okay, so if anyone has used Google Chrome before, it's basically the same on the iPad. There isn't really many changes. It's basically changed to fit the iPad more. So, first feature is that it comes up with your normal screen when you start up, and when you type into the what's that bar called at the top?
That's just telling me 10% of battery remaining. I mean, this is crazy. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so you type it into the bar at the top that you type in websites, right. And it brings you to a Google search if you do not put...
I'll just search for Kevin.
A domain name or whatever.
That could be bad, but anyway. okay, and it gives you a Google search, which Safari doesn't give you, right? It mm-hmm. just gives you Safari to whatever it gives you. You have to do a separate Google search.
Yeah.
That's quite nice.
So, then let's see.
I mean, it's very fluid, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it zooms.
It's optimized for the iPad, again.
It's going to Wikipedia.
But what I love about it is it's very smooth, slick.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
I use slick a lot, by the way. Very smooth and it's very fast as well.
Very.
But
I mean, it's just as good as Safari with, you know, the pinch to zoom thing.
And it looks very nice as well. So when you have many tabs open, you can go ahead and open lots of tabs. What happens is, instead of getting smaller, like what happens on a normal computer, because the screen is smaller on the iPad, what they have is they stack up.
Yeah, I'll just show you that. So, and first of all, it's really fast to go into a new tab. Mm-hmm. Like, and our Safari, which can take a while to get onto a new tab. So it's really mm-hmm. fast. You just press the new tab button. And they'll keep stacking. So you can see I have a massive stack of tabs. And you just kind of...
slide through them.
Whoops. That's my notifications. So you slide through them like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually very, very nice.
And then...
so let's get rid of all these tabs. And you can just keep adding tabs. With Safari, yeah. there's a big... there's a limit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's got the, you know, the when you go into a new tab, it's got your welcome thing when you, mm-hmm. you so you can take a tour of Google Chrome, which we don't want to do. and it's also got, you know, your most recent sites. It's got some bookmarks here, mm-hmm. you know, the standard stuff.
And you can also favorite different websites by, if you look up at the top bar where you type in
right.
Domains, websites. If you look to the far right, there's a little star. And when you click on that, just like on the computer, again, it comes up with a little bubble underneath. And you can set a bookmark for it.
Right.
So I love how you can favorite things, you know, because the way, I don't know, there's just something about it. Because press a little star, and then this bubble comes up. And it tells you all the information you need to know about that website. And then all you need to do is just press a little, just a little tab, and then comes down with all your bookmarks. It's like very easy to use.
Right.
You know.
So, yeah, you've got your little, so you've got a little tab here. It says mm-hmm. bookmarks. We can go to that.
And also, you know, if one of the websites is favorited, if you look up at
right.
the top,
and you can,
and it's a gold star.
And you can sync it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sync it to your Google Chrome as long as you're signed in.
Yeah.
You can sync it to Google Chrome on your desktop, for example. I mean, it's just really good mm-hmm. that way. Let's see what's got in settings here. Sign into Chrome, which I haven't done because
yeah.
I don't like doing that. But save passwords, right? So it'll automatically save your passwords for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can set your default search engine. Google. Voice search as well. It's got voice search. Let's see.
Does it work?
Alright.
This will be fun. I'm
going to have to... Crap. I got a bit nervous there when I was going to... I was like, yeah, what did I say? Okay. Kevin. That didn't even register. Hang on.
Put it closer to your face.
Kevin.
Did it come up with
yes,
Kevin?
Yes, it searched for Kevin. Wow.
Now,
okay.
Put in...
Yeah? I'll just prove that
okay,
there.
Okay, wait.
It searched for Kevin.
Okay,
Kevin
now,
there. Yeah.
Say this.
Mm-hmm.
Three-way speaker system features.
Three-way speaker system features. It says freeway speaker system features.
That's not bad.
That, yeah, okay, let's try that again. Three-way speaker system features. I even laughed there. Three-way speaker system feet. instead of, it said feet instead of features. It was so close. And because I laughed at the end,
yeah.
probably. But it was, yeah, that's very
that's,
accurate.
That's... It's almost like Siri, almost.
Right. It's no. very good.
That's incredible. Say. Now, I must say, on Google Translate, use that all the time when I go up to other places.
Pretty fast.
I was using the voice dictation, or sorry, what's it called again? Speech recognition. I was using that, and Google have really good, you know, they have it down to a T. You know, it's really, 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 really,
right.
really, really good.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can... It's just as smooth as Safari any day,
yeah.
right? And it's just so much better. It's got so many tabs. It's got so many features. I can sync it with Google Chrome on my laptop. It's cool.
Mm.
It's really cool. Google Chrome, to me, is definitely the best browser.
Mm-hmm. I don't like
fast.
How you can't get rid of Safari. No, yeah.
well, so you just leave it there.
I hold it down, put it into my internet folder.
Yeah, right. And then just put Chrome on your dock. Yeah. Yeah, right. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Even the
It's on Android as well.
And the icon, it's black in the background.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, it's cool. Mm. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So at Google I/O. They announced the Nexus 7 tablet, which is, again, another tablet. That it's been aimed towards the Kindle Fire tablet, which we talked about in the previous episode. But could this take on the iPad, right? So this is got a quad-core Tegra 3 processor, which, again, to me, doesn't mean much. I wouldn't even care if it had a single core. But it has 12 core graphics, which is pretty insane. Yeah. It's made by Asus. Yeah, I know. It's got a 1280 by 800 pixel display using the IPS technology. Yeah.
That's
it's
nice
got
screen.
A, yeah, very nice display.
Mm-hmm.
Higher than HD. It's got a 1.2 megapixel camera.
Expected.
Front camera. It's,
oh, that's
let
cool.
me just tell you the price after all this stuff, okay. right? 1.2 megapixel front camera.
I can't
8
wait.
Or 16 gigabytes of memory, $200. Yeah. it's a very, very competitive price, right? 8 gigabytes, $200. The 16 gigabytes is $50 more rather than $100 more for an iPad.
I'm wondering something. When does it come out? or is it already
They're
out?
Taking pre-orders now.
Okay.
And I don't know when it's actually going to come out, interestingly enough. It's coming soon, they say.
Okay.
And they're taking pre-orders now. So you get $25 of credit to spend on Google Play when you get it. And you get you get loads of free stuff. You get a free copy of the new Transformers movie. You get loads of free stuff, so I'm just going to pre-order one, because I'm so cool. but it says, sorry, devices on Google Play is not available in your country yet. We're working to bring devices to more countries as quickly as possible. Check back soon. Brilliant. So I can't buy it. But it's available in the US and all that for pre-order.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
I know. But Why? It's a very... I mean, Asus makes very impressive hardware.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to the new Jelly Bean, which you're going to talk about. It just looks nice. And it's $200.
Yeah.
Would you rather buy two or three of these or just buy one iPad? You know, that's the thing. You can buy three of these Nexus 7 tablets... for the price of one iPad. That's how good value for money it is.
Well,
it's got quad core. It's more powerful than an iPad.
Mm.
Right? It just doesn't have a back camera. And it's a bit smaller. But I like that form factor.
Mm-hmm.
The iPad is just... It's a bit too big to bring around with you.
Yeah.
It's great for around the house. But to bring around with you, you need to have the bag and all that stuff.
I don't know if I get three of those, two of those, or get an iPad, because I haven't tried them out.
Right.
Well, obviously, I would get one of those, because they're unbelievable, and they sound unbelievable, and they're only $200, so.
Yeah, and Jelly Bean looks very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not, it's different to iOS. Mm-hmm. And, you know, iOS on a tablet is nice as well, but it's just a bit too limited.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, on the iPhone, I can understand it. But when it comes to Android, or when it comes to the iPad, there's so much more screen real estate
mm-hmm.
that they're just not making use of.
Yeah.
You know, and you just feel like they could use up mm-hmm. more. You could do more with that screen real estate.
And Apple were saying that Samsung and Android were making no use of the space on the screen. Did you see the screenshot that they had of Mail? They had this screen... I don't know who made this Mail app, but It was like in the middle of it was like your mail, and then on the edges were just different things.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, the hardware anyway, you'll know that Asus makes very, very good hardware.
Mm.
And the price is so competitive.
Yeah.
It's very, like, very good.
Okay. I have some predictions. Now, I'm not very good at predictions.
Kevin's predictions.
So, first of all, this is going to sell way over a million in its lifetime. Way, way, way over a million. No, over 10 million.
Oh, that is a really bad prediction.
So,
wow,
no,
that's a Kevin prediction for you.
It's going to sell over 100 million. And...
Yeah, these
million,
are Kevin's ridiculous predictions. But
they are going to keep selling for 50 years. And then every school in the world will get one. And everyone in those schools will get one. So then that means that about a billion will be sold.
Nice.
So overall, a billion will be sold. Be sold for 50 years, and they'll be in every school in the whole world. Now they're
sounds
just my predictions,
right?
So,
yeah, I
this
mean,
is actually pretty class, though.
They are pretty good predictions and all, but
mm-hmm.
you know, they just don't really stack up to me.
I know what you mean.
You know, they're just a bit too far off the mark.
Mm.
You know,
anyway.
It's just, you know, just a bit off there, you know, just a small bit, but you know, not much. What is he talking about?
Sorry?
What? Sorry?
Were you talking to me?
No, I was talking to myself.
Okay.
Good. So we'll go on. We'll talk about the Nexus Q, which is kind of like Google TV.
Okay.
Right, it's the replacement to Google TV. So what it can do is, it has a HDMI and mini HDMI ports. So you can plug it into your TV. It's got built-in speakers for playing content. So the whole point of this is that it uses the Google Play Store to get music, movies, whatever you want, right? Lots of different content.
Yet
right?
another...
Applications.
Yet another...
TV.
Yet another device that we cannot get in Ireland. For the moment.
Right, yeah. And it just looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, we're going... Yeah, I mean, it's the world's first social streaming media player.
Okay.
Which sounds kind of weird. I mean, a social media player? Right, so this is how it's social. They have, I'll just actually read the article that they have here. From the official Google Nexus Q website. And it says, cue the party. Ha 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 ha. Sorry.
What's that supposed to mean?
Right, so it says, why shouldn't everyone at the party be able to add their own music, movies, and videos to the mix and choose what's playing? All your guests need is an Android phone or tablet and a connection to your Wi-Fi network. Prefer your own taste in music. Turn off guest mode in your Nexus Q settings. And it's all you. Right.
Okay.
So
that's the social part.
Yeah. And very social, yeah. It looks like a cube. Or not like a cube.
A ball.
But a ball, right? And that's the whole point of the Nexus Q.
Ah. But where's the little tail?
It's out the back.
Is that the wire?
It's out the back, yeah. it's got these LEDs around it that glow up and stuff.
Wow.
It runs Android. It's pretty slick, but we have to leave it there for today. In the next episode, we're going to talk about... it's going to be a little teaser for the next episode. We're going to talk about Jelly Bean and this brand new, beautiful Canon camera that I have right here. Mm-hmm. And I'll be doing a little review on that. So
if you
check
want,
it out next week.
So
to,
if you want to see... if you want to see all these new stories next week, come back and we'll be live streaming at 8 p.m.
Right.
Greenwich
Mean Time.
Greenwich Mean Time.
Greenwich.
Greenwich
Greenwich
Mean
Time.
And also just check out all the episodes before.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Sorry, we're running over time. Well, I'm going to be talking about this camera and Jelly Bean and much more next week. So stay tuned for that. Until next time. Bye. I went like, bye. And then you just went like, bye. So, yeah.
May the odds be in your favor. Oh, wait. That's just
bye.